6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before him, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Jesus was transfigured on a high mountain in the presence of Peter, James, and John. I like to refer to them as the executive committee of the apostles. Jesus was transfigured. The Greek word here is metamorpho. This was a metamorphosis. In science, the word metamorphosis is used for the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly, one of our symbols of the resurrection. Peter, James, and John were given a foretaste of the resurrection. When I prepare for our annual celebration of the Transfiguration, the first place my mind always goes is to the mountain. We often call intense spiritual experiences mountaintop experiences. My favorite sermon title for this festival is one I've used several times over the years, even here a couple years ago, "Watch Your Altitude." It's a phrase that I often heard as a teenager. My mother would scold me saying, "Watch your altitude," a clever play on words for having a bad attitude. She was saying that I was being arrogant. Or to use other parental admonitions, "Get off your high horse," or "You need to be taken down a peg," or "You're too big for your britches." The word altitude itself means a high place. It could be geographical, like a mountain, or behavioral, as in my mother's play on words. As I looked at today's text from Matthew, I asked, what are transfiguration altitudes? I counted 7. Number 1 is the obvious one. The basic altitude of the transfiguration is on a high mountain. Number 2 is the transfiguration itself. Jesus was lifted high in metamorphosis. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes were bright as light. Number 3 goes to a higher altitude. There's a voice from a cloud, God's own voice. Number 4 is a reversal of altitude. Peter, James, and John fall face down on the ground. Number 5, The three apostles raised their eyes, a little higher altitude. They looked up to see Jesus. That's always a good altitude, looking up to Jesus. Number six, they came down the mountain. And we hear altitude number seven in the instruction that Jesus gave them as they came down the mountain. He said, don't tell anyone about this mountaintop experience until after the Son of Man is raised from the dead. That's the ultimate altitude, the resurrection. The transfiguration points us to the ultimate altitude, the resurrection. As disciples of Jesus, we have different altitudes in our lives, emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. We can rise up to divine altitudes. We can experience the presence of the Lord. As disciples, we can also struggle. We can struggle up mountains. And we can sometimes fall to the ground. Maybe in fear. Maybe for other reasons. We can end up in a pit. Today, our altitude is to look to Jesus, the risen Lord. Our altitude is to look to him and to look to where God dwells. Where does God dwell? What's God's altitude? You gotta love the answer Psalm 139 gives for this question. When I sit down, God is there. When I stand up, God is there. When I rise up in the morning, God is there. If I travel to the farthest ends of the sea, God is there. If I look up to the heavens, God is there. If I'm down in a pit, God is there. Verse 5 of Psalm 139 reminds us of the story of the transfiguration. You, Lord, surround me from all sides and lay your hand upon me. When Peter, James, and John were cowering in fear on the ground, Jesus came and laid his hand on them. Today in our healing service, the hand of the Lord will touch us. Now, of course, from a physical point of view, it'll be my hand that rests on your head. But from a spiritual point of view, looking at the spiritual world, which is the world that really matters, the hand of God touches us. Today's festival reminds us that we can experience the Lord of the resurrection. No matter what our altitude is, the Lord Jesus comes to us. He comes with a touch. Sometimes he comes with a calming, gentle hope. Do not be afraid. Recently, I had a meltdown. Several things were happening all at once. I wasn't even close to being in a place where I could experience the transfigured, risen Lord. I was off balance. My altitude was very low, like I'd fallen down emotionally. To use a word from the Transfiguration story, I was overcome, not with fear, but I was overcome. Perhaps you've been there at some time or been in the presence of someone who's been there. In seminary, we would call such times the pit. That's a phrase that's used in the Bible 125 times. And by the way, that meltdown was recent.
Yeah, it was last week.
On the way to church. Not that there's any good time for the pit, but it's my worst time as a preacher. And my altitude wasn't exactly a good time for the preacher's wife either. Last evening's worship, Joe was nodding her head. Now, of course, when I got to church, I did my best to hide that altitude. I portrayed the altitude of a pastor as best I could. During the sermon, I felt a profound feeling of hypocrisy. What I was saying was the opposite of my altitude. And then something happened. The Word of God started to lift me up. The Word of God started to transform me, transfigure me, if you will. God was saying to me as I was speaking, watch your altitude. And during the actual delivery of the sermon, God was forgiving me. And at one point, I locked eyes with Joe, and she knew, and we knew together that we were in the presence of God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love, God's peace. Shalom. This is what the Festival of the Transfiguration teaches us, that no matter what our altitude, no matter what our situation, no matter how good or how bad things are with us, in that moment, God is with us and God will lift us up. Now, when Jesus brought Peter, James, and John down the mountain, they were on their way to Jerusalem, where Jesus would suffer. And he told them so as they were walking down that mountain. He told them he was going to suffer in Jerusalem. They were heading into the pit on many levels. First, they would encounter an extremely sick boy that the apostles couldn't heal. They were baffled. And then there were controversies over taxes, over wealth, over following God's law. And they were headed into the pit of suffering, into the pit of crucifixion, into the pit of death. Raphael was a painter in the Renaissance over 500 years ago. His final work was the Transfiguration, and is often considered his greatest work. The top of the painting shows the radiant, transfigured Christ with Moses and Elijah with him, and the three apostles on the ground. At the bottom of the painting, it's a tall 13-foot painting, at the bottom of the painting is a scene of chaos. The scene of chaos that Jesus and the apostles would encounter after they come down the mountain. The bottom scene showed a demon-possessed boy with all the apostles frustrated because they couldn't heal. The top of the painting was magnificent, bright lights. The bottom of the painting is chaotic. My favorite part of that painting is at the bottom, near the middle, there's an apostle. Personally, I interpret that apostle to be Matthew, the writer of today's story. Matthew is pointing to the Transfiguration. He's looking at the possessed boy, and he's pointing to the Transfiguration. In the midst of the chaos, Matthew points us to hope. In the midst of sickness, Matthew is pointing us to Jesus, the healer. In the midst of our lives today, the Holy Spirit is pointing us to the risen, transfigured Lord Jesus, where in him is divine grace, forgiveness, healing, and peace. Shalom. Let us pray. In this moment of prayer, examine your life as it is right now, heart, mind, body, and soul. And add to that, examine your relationships, examine the church, examine the world, examine our nation. And silently, let the light of healing, forgiveness, and shalom, the light of the risen Lord Jesus, come upon you, around you, and within you.